It's me, your conscience. Just kidding. This voice belongs to Variety, one of the co-hosts of Vanity Project, the podcast that you're listening to in this very moment. The voice you're about to hear belongs to James, the other co-host.
Yeah, I was just leaving you a little bit.
That really stressed me out.
Yeah, you came in too well and I thought, oh, you're not going to want to do a second take of that. So what would happen if I just left you on the line for a little bit? Hello, Bridie, how are you doing today?
I'm shaken to my core after seeing what a flagrant disregard you have for the very philosophy of yes and. But apart from that, I'm doing very well. I've had a lovely, lovely week. I'm in good spirits. Our listeners might detect that I am usually fairly optimistic, but this week, an extra dose. I'm even happier than usual. Be warned.
And it's been your birthday, which is what we should mention as well. Very happy birthday to Bridie. This week, we are on the Vanity Project Mount Sinai, I believe, where we are listening to Mr. T's Commandments from Mr. T himself, Mr. T.
I am so excited, even just going off the cover image alone. I know that this is an album that I need to listen to and put in my ears. I'm so excited about it. How are you feeling in general? How are you feeling about this album? Let's get into it.
I will say of both despondent.
Oh, no.
You've kept me on the album cover, though. Could you describe it for anyone listening? Because it is an interesting one.
It is interesting. If we had to deconstruct this image, there's a lot going on. So Mr. T himself with the associated Mr. T gold chains, lots of bling, the iconic hairstyle, is seated. He's wearing odd socks, which is just a small detail, but I really enjoy it. He's seated in what can only be described as a power pose at the front of a, like, playground or baseball.
So this is what I want to get to. So he's surrounded by children in this, and there is a children on each knee, one underneath him and three behind him on a kind of wire, chicken wire cage. Now, it implies, it seems, that it's a batting cage or like a baseball diamond, but there's no actual indication of that. And it really gives the impression that older children are being caged out of this and the younger children are trapped in hell in a cell with Mr. T.
Do you know where we should have started? Do you know where we should have started our commentary on this album? Just to allay any fears that our listeners may have, this is an album for children.
This is an album for children.
It's not just randomly children on his cover of his, like, very intense album. That probably is the key detail that we should have led with there. This is a mini album, so it says, I think it's definitely album-sized, that was released in 1984 and was an album made...
This is what George Orwell was predicting. He said in 1984, Mr. T is going to release an album for kids.
That's right. It was it was billed as like a motivational record aimed at children, which, you know, is not a genre we've covered before on this podcast, James. And also, this is the oldest album that we've covered, so that's pretty exciting. But yes, maybe that contextualizes why there are so many children on this weird cover.
And it's also, like, it's weird to say, it's not so much a children's album in that you would think a children's album is, you know, barnyard animal songs, nursery rhymes, that kind of gear. This is an instruction manual for children. Like, it's very much Mr. T's commandments. This is what he is demanding of the youth of America in 1984. And America's gone from strength to strength since then, so I think he crushed it.
I think he absolutely nailed the brief. So what makes him the person to be giving out these commandments? Where is Mr. T at this moment in time? What's his career looking like to date? Who is Mr. T, James?
Well, Mr. T, we're past Rocky III age, so he is Mr. T. Like, it's strange to say here that there's a credibility curve for Mr. T.
Totally.
Mr. T is like, it's strange that how cartoonish he becomes. Like, Mr. T I'm so sick already of saying the words Mr. T, and it's just not going to stop for this whole show.
Oh dear! Wait till you get the song. Wait till we get to the song called Mr. T, Mr. T, which is track four.
But he's a celebrity. Like, he's a massive celebrity at this part. This would be, I'd say, peak of Mr. T fame, but also like peak of his fame where it's not sad when Mr. T shows up in something.
Absolutely. He's not a joke. He's an absolutely iconic global celebrity. He's at the height of A-Team fame. He's had his role in Rocky. Mm. He's been endorsing cereals, for God's sake. You know, he's done everything. I found out in my research for this, he had done some work with Nancy Reagan and was like invited to the White House to play Santa for a Christmas party. Like, he's hobnobbing with some very important people. He's a major, major celebrity.
I would absolutely recommend looking up the photos of him dressed as Santa Claus with Nancy Reagan. Hell of a time. Also, connoisseurs of Nancy Reagan history could go into their own detail about that. But it really makes sense how horrible his views on drug use in minority communities are when you understand he was tied to the Reagan administration. Like, Mr. T here, that we have to understand how much this album could well have influenced the burgeoning war on drugs.
This is the most socio-political vanity project we've covered so far. And in fact, let's talk about that. So given he's at the height of his fame, he's not particularly known for his musical talent. So I think on that metric, yeah, it's probably a vanity project. But given that this album is supposedly an instruction manual, an educational gift to children, does it still fall into the category of vanity?
Ruddy, are you asking me if calling your album Commandments, as in the rules handed down by God on high to the people, counts as vain? I'm going to have to say, yeah, I reckon it's vain.
See, what I've just done is been like, okay, you're vain, but you're doing it for the kids, so it's all right. Yeah, no, good point. Well made. Oh, dear. So I think we should have a listen. I don't particularly think of music. When I think of Mr. T, I think of gold chains and muscles and I Pity the Fool, lots of catchphrases. I also think of this app that my friend John used to have, which was just called the Mr. T app, where every so often he would just like press a button and then like a little Mr. T catchphrase would come out and he thought it was very funny. So he did it frequently. That's what I think of. I don't really think music.
Do you know what? Let's get real for a second. I had a similar one. We bought a physical version before the days of apps of one of these for a friend of mine who is now sadly passed. And one of my favorite memories of him is him playing this constantly in the back of our classroom. It's like, I pity the fool, I pity the fool. Shut up, fool, shut up. I pity the fool. Just playing this in class until he was kicked out of class by our substitute maths teacher. All three of us were. He was shouted at for maybe 45 seconds and then played once, shut up, fool. And it's top 10 funniest. And like all of us, like, we didn't see a lunchtime for a week, but it was very much worth
it.
It's now
worth it.
So Mr. T is tied to a core memory of a dearly departed friend. So I'm in ready for Mr. T's commandments.
Oh, that is a fantastic story. I love that. All right, well, let's get into it. This is Mr. T's Commandments. The first song is Mr. T's Commandment. I can talk all day, but the rest is up to you. Honor that loving father. The Bible makes it clear. If you break the rule, God help you.
We got Mr. T to fear. That was Mr. T's Commandments. The longest song ever made, I think.
I think so. You know what's interesting about this? It's billed as a mini album because it's only 7 songs. But each song is long. Most of them are over 4 minutes. Some of them are 5 minutes. That's a lot to ask of a child's attention span. But look, there's some full-on powerful lyrics straight out the gate here. Honor thy mother and father. The Bible makes it clear. If you break the rule, God help you, fool. You got Mr. T to fear. What part of the Bible was that? Do you remember?
Yeah, Revelations.
Revelations.
it's amazing positioning by Mr. T, because also, like, he, firstly, he says, I can talk all day, but the rest is up to you. And he means it. He can talk all goddamn day. But this is interesting, like, that this song as well is the one where, so I would have thought the way you do this album, if it's Mr. T's Commandments, is each track is a new, hey, here's an instruction to kids.
Mm.
Like, do this, don't do this, do this. And there's a couple of that. We'll get to track two. I don't want to spoil track two just yet. But the first track, he puts in just about all the advice for kids he has. And then after track two, there's not much more for him to mention.
There's not many more commandments. He doesn't even go to the OG commandments. I'd love a song about thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. That'd be great. But you're right. Track two does have a little bit more of some helpful instructions for kids, and then we kind of drop it entirely. So let's hear track two. This is Don't Talk to Strangers.
Please be careful.
Don't talk to strangers.
Because you never know.
Because you never know.
Who you might be talking to.
You might be talking to. Don't talk to strangers.
Because you never know.
You never know.
Don't Talk to Strangers, Mr. T song, and I would say one of my favorite songs in which Mr. T tells you not to talk to a pedophile.
I find the chorus of the song really catchy. I don't know, just the, like the synthy goodness that it has and the like the layers and layers of backup vocals. I really enjoy it. It's been stuck in my head. But there's also something so funny to me about a stranger singing to you about not talking to strangers. Like, there's all these layers to unpack. This man, mum, this man that I don't know keeps singing to me about not talking to him.
Can we talk a little bit about the production on this? Because, like, the music is incredible. It sounds like he's not really, he is very much talking, but the music behind it has, like, the feel of, like, I want to say background music for a legal procedural drama.
Absolutely. Like, but it's weird because that's the verse structure, right, is a very, like, background legal procedure with the arrangement there. But then when we get to the chorus, it's, like, after school special. Major keys, it's delightful, it's happy, and then we go back into minor keys, the scary, spooky key when we're talking about strangers. And then as soon as we get to the moral of the story, don't talk to strangers, major key. It's happy because we're following Mr. T's advice.
The other thing we need to note about this that's very important is Mr. T's rapping in this, Mr. T's rapping in quite a few tracks of this album, was directed by Ice-T. We have both the T's. The major godfathers of hip-hop T's are both on this track.
It makes me... Was your train of thought there legal procedural?
Yeah. I honestly moved on from this to be like, oh my God, it's Law and Order, Mr. T.
I think we can trace the origins back to here. Yes, Ice-T, who interestingly in the album notes for this record is credited as Ice-T, but T-E-A. So a little bit of an origin story, perhaps. Maybe working with Mr. T inspired him to change it.
Or it's the opposite, and it's a real, well, one of us has to change moment. they both showing up being like, just call me T. Like, well, we can't both be T. You're T-E-A.
Yeah, I love it. There's actually, and we'll talk about it as we go through the tracks, but there are some really amazing musicians associated with this album, particularly like keys and producers. So yeah, it definitely has its share of luminaries on the album. Now, track three, James.
Mm-hmm.
You know how I wasn't sure if it's a vanity project? The next few songs, just on the titles alone, I reckon I've revised my initial thoughts. This is The Toughest Man in the World.
The toughest man in the world. The strong inside he'll ever hide. Bottles of cold upon him when he's up against the wall. The man who tries and won't say die is the toughest man of all.
The toughest man in the world. Mr. T, again, kind of a good track. Like, the track itself, I don't, like, let's divorce it from the Mr. T vocal performance and the words and everything else associated with it. But, like, it's just in vibe. If this was, like, on the same Grandmaster Flash album as White Lines, I wouldn't be shocked. And maybe that's his spiritual muse here. Maybe he's, like, he's Grandmaster Flash for kids.
I love that. And that's super fun. I think that's really apt. I think it's interesting you said as well to, like, immediately disregard his vocal performance. There's something so gruff about it. He sounds quite grumpy. There's a bit of a, like, I need a Strepsil kind of vibe to this vocal performance. But it kind of works for this sort of heightened version of himself that he's playing, talking to kids. It really gives it a bit of authority, which I love.
This does have a very after-school special theme. And it has, I would say he has more legitimacy here than he does in any of the other songs so far. Because, like, this is the kind of, you can imagine this. This should be like a 45-second PSA of, like, we've all had a lot of fun talking about Mr. T today. But do you know what makes you really tough? It's not big muscles or a lot of bling. It's being a good friend. Although, even though it's still the moral of what makes the toughest man in the world, you're still getting in fights and shit. He's not like, he's not saying, like, do you know what really makes you tough? Loving and caring and being a good friend and good neighbor and stuff. He's saying, like, no, you still have to get the shit kicked out of you, but you get up after it.
Yeah, truly an inspirational story that I hope we all take with us into our weeks. So if you get into a fight this week, think of Mr. T and just pick yourself back on up. We're about to hit my favorite track, which, no offense to Mr. T, is the only track he doesn't feature on at all. Like, he has nothing to do with this song coming up, which is weird given that it's called Mr. T, parentheses, he was made for love.
Mr. T, he was made for love. Bridie, what were your thoughts listening to this track?
I had a big question, Mark, come up in my head as I listened to this track. The question was, is this still for children?
When you yeah.
When you consider some of the lyrics, he's strong and handsome, he's gentle and sweet. I'm so in love with you, Mr. T. He's 5'10". This man's for real. 1, 2, 3. Love that, Mr. T. I don't think the kids need to know that he's handsome and hot and full of love. We just need to know to say no to drugs and don't talk to strangers. We don't need to know about all that stuff.
Also, Mr. T's 5'10". Go off, short king. I had Mr. T as a real 6'3 in my head. He's 5'10".
Tall girl energy, babes. It's a thing.
You're right. It is hugely not a kid appropriate. And probably because, like, listening to this, something about this track really made me want to go and rewatch, like, Escape from New York or something of that sort. It's got a real, like, we're in a film from the 80s but set in 2125.
Totally.
And this is the music you get when someone's going through an armored personnel carrier through a very grungy street.
Yeah, it's so odd. Like, it's definitely got, like, this sense of adventure and energy and pace to it in the arrangement and the vocal performance. It's all happening so quickly, but not so quickly that I didn't pick up that the lyrics are not age appropriate.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's the real point we need to stick on here, is that we're 3 tracks in, and track 3 was maybe about kids, if you want to stretch your definition. Track 4 is absolute, there is nothing here. Like, it's as if, like, the actual commandments were like, thou shalt not steal. And by the way, I'm hot as fuck and everyone wants to do me.
If I ever record an album, I will make sure that one of the tracks I step outside the studio and invite my friends to come in and sing a song about how great I am. I think it's not done enough.
Also, 7-track album, buddy, show up for all 7 tracks. Like, I was expecting him to do, like, a verse at the end at least or something. But he's like, no, you take this one. I'm going out for Smoko.
But surely, James, surely after this strange departure from the thematic premise of the album, surely the next song will be some more great messages for kids and not the exact same thing that we've just heard. Here's the one and only Mr. T.
This rules. This is so good. I like. Firstly, let's get this out of the way. This track slaps.
It's so catchy. It's just so much fun. Synthy, the beat's so fun.
Fucking Ice-T earned his E and his A on this one. He was working his E and his A off. This is a fantastic performance.
You know what this song is, though? Originally, I'm like, oh, it's just another song about how hot and tough he is. But the main gist of the song is, I'm the only Mr. T. This is what he was singing to Ice-T to be like, no, mate, add the E and the A. I'm the only Mr. T. This is a showdown song.
I do like that because, like, I was listening over this. The note I made here was, is the commandment here, don't fight Mr. T or he'll kick the shit out of you, which is a good note for children. I plan on telling my daughter, do not fight Mr. T if you ever have the chance.
I tell myself every day, do my morning affirmations. That's one of them. Look, I actually think you're thinking too hard trying to search for a commandment. I think we gave that up a long, long time ago after track two. But I enjoy it.
I really like it too. And it feels like, I was trying to think, what itch is this scratching in the back of my brain? And I think it is, this could be the theme song for like a Ninja Turtle Saturday morning breakfast cereal cartoon. Like if Mr. T, and surely there is a Mr. T cartoon out there. Mm-hmm. I have not bothered to even do a cursory Google. But like, this feels like the exact kind of thing where you can see him punching a bunch of street sharks or something to this track.
Absolutely. And I think that's like a general vibe of a lot of the songs, kind of the album as a whole, is that it's definitely got a sense of like cool, like kids off on adventures, you know, like theme songs. It's definitely just very 80s, very of the time adventure-y. And I kind of love that. It makes you feel like you're about to go and do something cool and mischievous.
Speaking of very 80s, let's go headfirst into the fucking Reagan era and listen to No Dope, No Drugs.
You can get it anywhere, at school or from a friend. Just because he thinks it's cool don't mean you have to trust him. You okay the way you are, learn to like yourself. You got mama's love and daddy's love, don't need nobody else.
You cannot have a song about not taking drugs with that sludgy a bass on it.
Very good point. In fact, yeah, leave the politics, leave the drugs just for a second. Just the actual instrumentation and even the vocal performance, forget the lyrics, it is the 80s. This is the most 80s track. Yeah.
You Shazam this shit from an opium den. Like, this is some dark heroin track.
100%. Just, like, the synth. Also, that classic kind of, like, mid-80s. Ah, rap at half speed because it is the 80s. Like yeah. Very slow and measured and deliberate vocal, which I really enjoy. I think Grandmaster Flash was, like, a really good reference before. It's definitely got this, like, there is no mistaking where we are, like, when we are.
This track is really If White Lines Wasn't Cool. If, like, if Ronald Reagan asked the one black person he knows to make their own version of White Lines that he can play and not offend the people in his party.
It is astonishing. I mean, let's look at the lyrics to the chorus, shall we? You don't need no dope. 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 Leave the dope to the freaks. We have a little change there at the end. It feels like maybe the president did write it.
Like having Ice-T help out on this track. Just feel like real. Like I get it. It's for kids. We say a lot of things are not good for kids, and then we go and do them. That's fine. That's hypocrisy is okay because they're little and we're big. But Iceman, are you seriously going to tell me that you've never? I'm certain. Like, do you know what? I reckon Mr. T is actually like very, very religious background, very like surprisingly conservative. I don't think Mr. T, like, there is a world where Mr. T has never so much as smoked a joint in his life. I don't think that's impossible. I think everyone else associated with this track was high while making it.
I think that is probably a really fair hypothesis there. You know what this song reminded me of is when I was about, I don't know, maybe like 9 or 10 years old in the school holidays. I don't know where my parents were, but I was like lumped with my cousin Jason, who's 10 years older than me, for a day. And he is awesome. Like, he's always been like the king of the cousins. We've got loads of cousins in my family, and he's one of the oldest ones. Jace the Ace. We adore him. Big shout out to you, Jace. And I remember being like, wow, this is so cool. I get to hang out with Jace the Ace all day. It's going to be so fun. So he would have been like 19 or 20. He just like started flatting and was at uni and all this stuff. And he was like, oh, cool, Brides, I'll show you around. He lived in Auckland, which is not where I live. So it's very exciting to be in the big city, all this stuff. He was like, cool, I'll take you on a tour. And not once, not twice, but 3 times, because he obviously had an issue with his memory, like took me to the door of a bar and then was like, wait, how old are you? I was like, 9. He's like, oh, we can't go here. That's all right, get back in the car, I'll show you somewhere else cool. And then would like buy me an ice cream, and then he'd go, oh, wait, I'll show you somewhere cool. And then we get to a bar and he'd go, oh, no, wait, I can't bring you in here. 3 times, which is awesome. But he obviously learned, because the next time, like the next school holidays that I went and hung out with Jace the Ace, he didn't take me to any bars, but I got to his flat that he shared with his like uni friends, and he sat me down on the couch and gave me a book entitled How to Say No to Drugs, parentheses, without sounding like a dweeb. And the first way for anyone wondering how you can say no to drugs without sounding like a dweeb, the first way that's really etched in my memory is to go, no thanks, I'm a dweeb. Really get in there, beat him to the chase.
It does. It's remarkable how much the drug education we get is based on the presumption that people are going to be offering you drugs, which I can say now on the other side, it's much harder to get them than that. Like, it's the same as like when everyone was like, oh, watch out around Halloween because people are putting, you know, hallucinogenic gummies in with the things for kids. Like, no one's wasting their hallucinogenic gummy. They straight up aren't. They're too expensive. They're hard to get. You have to import them and you're not allowed to. Like, it's difficult to, honestly, like, look, kids, don't do drugs. But if you get some, let us know, because it's tough out there and I haven't had any for a long, long time.
What do you think Mr. T would make of the fact that at the age of 12, I was and remain the only student in my primary school to be kicked out of the Healthy Herald van because I knew a, quote, concerningly large number of street names for drugs?
Oh yeah,
because Healthy Harold,
king of the Wellington corners.
Healthy Harold was like, so do we know any names of drugs? And I put my hand up and I was like, crack or whatever, and then like just kept listing a whole bunch of names for drugs. But instead, and because I was a really good kid, I was like, cool, if you know the answers to the questions, you get rewarded for that. I didn't get rewarded. I had to go see the principal, who was like, Bridie, why do you know so many names for drugs? And I was like, I read the paper, okay? I know what's going on. Is that a crime?
That's so funny. We have one last track to go into here. It's called You've Gotta Go Through It.
Oh, I'm Mr. T, so listen to me. Ain't nothing free in the world when you got to believe.
How much I love all these songs.
They're really fun. Like, honestly, like, they don't teach kids shit. Like, this is not going on my daughter's playlist as like, here's no. What, here, look, we're going to teach you about the world. They might be going on my playlist.
They're so fun. Unfortunately, I don't think this album is available in many places. You can listen to it on YouTube, which we can chuck the link to in the show notes. But it's a real shame that it's not in more places because it is really, really fun. This bass line, the keys, the whole production of this track is just really fun. I mentioned before that there's some amazing musicians linked to this album. The producer of several of the tracks and also plays keys on a bunch of the tracks is Patrick Henderson, who actually now is the Reverend Patrick Henderson, who's like a phenomenal gospel musician, but also wrote a lot of songs with Michael McDonald and also played for the Doobie Brothers. So if you like some yacht rock.
Oh my God.
I know.
Hell yeah.
How random is that? Like,
Yumbo, be there.
Spanning a whole bunch of genres there, which I really enjoy. What do you think about this song?
I was looking for the lyrics for it and I just Googled, you've got to go through it, and it brings up, we're going on a bear hunt. Like, that's as close as this gets to be a children's track. Again, not sure, but I do like, some part of me deeply respects the idea that at the end of a children's album, as your final note to kids, your message is kind of, look, it's hard and sucks, but you just got to keep going.
I respect it. I have a grudging respect for that. I like that a lot. So let's talk about how this album was received. The title track, Mr. T's Commandment, peaked at number 75 on the Billboard Hot R&B and Hip Hop Songs chart.
That's so high. Like, I guess it's 1984. There were probably 76 hip hop songs at the time.
It is surprisingly high. Like, yeah, that was surprising to me. There's not a whole bunch of reviews that I could find about this album online, but there are a lot of like personal accounts of how many people loved this album when they were growing up. There's a lot of fondness and like deep and long held affection for this album, clearly.
I'm assuming Americans must just have a different association with Mr. T than we do. Like, cause I feel like, or maybe it's just a decade thing that like we only copped him when you're like, who the hell is this guy? Mm. Why is this strange man an icon? But I get like you're right in saying like people fucking love Mr. T.
They love
like,
him.
Mr. T might be to them what Snoop is to us. That like I know he's supposed to be frightening for a while there, but God, we love him. Look at what he's up to now. He does little dances.
It's interesting, isn't it? To me, like, the weakest part of the album is Mr. T, right? I like Mr. T. Mm. You know, I have a weird fondness for him. But he is the weakest link, right? Which, you know,
yeah.
Don't come for us all.
He is the one and only, the toughest man in the world.
He is the toughest man in the world.
Not talk shit about Mr. T.
I'm so sorry. But, you know, like, I think in the hands of a different rapper, like vocalist, it might have been a really different outcome, but it is super charming and fun. I did see this like random YouTube comment that did make me laugh, which is, this album is to music what The Room is to film, which is potentially a little harsh, but I'm like, I kind of get that.
Hey Bridie, how old do you think Mr. T is?
Oh, okay, well, this album came out in 1984 and he'd already done, let's say he's like, oh, see, in my mind, he's frozen at that age. Every time I, you know, so mid-60s?
He is 69 years old, which means when he released this album, he was our age, Bridie.
Oh, no.
He's probably at the stage we're at. A lot of our friends are having kids, or you're thinking of having kids or whatever, and you're like, you know what? I'll help you raise them. Put this on. Sit him in the room. It'll be fine.
Oh, my God. I don't know why that's freaked me out so much. I'm not the toughest man in the world. I thought I would be by... Oh, gosh. Damn it.
That is so good.
I would also like to share one more review that I found for this album, which was reviewed on a punk website, Punk News, and there was a lot of backlash in the comments about, like, why the hell have you reviewed this album on Punk News? This is not punk. And then there's a little listicle of top five reasons Mr. T and his hip-hop album Mr. T's Commandment deserves a review on Punk News, which leads to, he's got a fucking mohawk for crying out loud. And you cannot argue with that.
Oh, that's amazing. It's so funny. I can't go past the iced tea connection of this as well, because, like, imagine if your two of your biggest contributions to music are Cop Killer and this.
What an amazing career. I wonder how old Ice T was when this album came out. Actually, don't look it up. It'll just depress me more.
Friday, let's ask our most important questions. Was this album a mistake?
I listened to it a couple of times, and the first time I listened to it, I was like, this is definitely a mistake. There's so many cheesy sound effects. It's just, no thank you, not for me. The lyrics are not great. And then I listened to it again, and I've really come around. I really enjoy it. I think it's never really a mistake to try and, you know, encourage kids to live great lives, all set to some catchy beats. So no, I'm going to say no, it's not a mistake. What about you, James? Was this album a mistake?
Well, I'm just looking at what his contemporaries are for 1984 hip-hop. And it is, like, it is literally Grandmaster Flash's White Lines comes out this year.
Wow.
Run DMC's Run DMC comes out. Like, I feel like this has aged badly, but was right on the cusp of cool right then. And as someone, like, look, shout out to any, you know, early 30s guy going through it right now, that if you can hit the zeitgeist and then it ages badly, take that zeitgeist while you've got it. this album is too good to be a mistake, honestly. Like, it, like, the as is it a mistake to give this to your kids? Yes. But is it a mistake to partner with the Reagan administration for any public health measures? Yes, absolutely. This album is fun. This album sounds better than it should. And I'll tell you something here. Here's a note for you. I was playing this out of the speakers from my office, and I had my daughter in her little, like, playpen area, and she was dancing about to it. She was, like, waving her little baby hands and feet. She seemed to really dig on the music.
She's already internalizing those great lessons that he's telling children, which is awesome.
I actually am not sure about that, because I did bust her smoking a little baby joint like hour later. I know.
No, say nope to dope. I did forget.
She should have said she's a dweeb. We'd have gotten her out of it.
Jason, where are you when we need you? I did forget to mention as well that The Toughest Man in the World a few months later was the, like, title track on a film of the same name starring Mr. T. So there are songs that had another life beyond this album, which is beautiful to know.
And because of the unavailability of this album, we can't actually put any of these songs on our Vendy Project podcast playlist. Easy to say, easy to remember. But if we could, I would say, Bridie, I would say one and only Mr. T. And Mr. T, He Was Made for Love. I think it's just, even though Mr. T doesn't feature on it, which I think in a playlist makes it funnier. I think it's funnier to have a song about Mr. T not turn up on a Mr. T album. You're just listening to something else and then someone has written a song about how horny they are for Mr. T. Very funny.
Well, I would put Don't Talk to Strangers on the playlist because it's just a really catchy chorus and I really enjoy it.
Just great advice too.
Great advice. Really good advice. Don't talk to strangers ever, even if they're nice. Nah, people suck. Just kidding. I love people. Well, I think that brings us to the end of the album. And now you get to do the bit that you love, which is like, hey, review us. James loves it. Every week he's like, let me say this bit. Over to you.
Do you know what? If you don't give us a review, I'm going to talk to a stranger. And then you're going to have that on your conscience. Because what if they take me away? What if they... Because maybe they actually have lost their puppy and I'm going to help them find a puppy and then I'm a hero and then you're a hero for helping me. But also, they're probably a pedophile.
Well, you can't argue with that.
All I'm saying is either give us a 5-star review or you're assisting a pedophile in abducting a 31-year-old man.
That's exactly what we were going for there. I'm so glad I threw to you. Thanks to Fraser and Aaron for our great opening track.
All right. Thank you all for listening to this episode and go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
How do we sign off this show?
1, 2, 3. Love that, Mr. T.